And now we move on to Blonde. Oh boy, Blonde. I would say definitely one of the most anticipated movies of the past few years as far as the film community, the film tour wise. Because look at this, the events, right? You get Ana de Armas announces Marilyn Monroe. And you go, okay, Ana de Armas is great. One of the best working today. Everyone loves her. And she's also like, let's be honest, she has... It's the sex appeal thing. Like, and I'm not trying to be a man or whatever, thing like that, but people have that. It's the same thing as some fucking man. It's the same thing as Timothée Chalamet. For that demographic, he has that fucking sex appeal that the ladies are just all over it. Or whether you're gay or you're into men, if you're into men, you look at Chalamet and you're like, fuck, yeah. You know, like, that's where, and not necessarily for me. He's not on my man crush list, but she has that. So is that combo. She's a great actress. She has that, and she's playing Marilyn Monroe, who is a, at times, like a, you know, I won't say a sex icon, but close enough. I'd say like a sexual icon. When people think of Marilyn Monroe, they think of the Women Anatomy. They think of posters. They think of beautiful, well-shot, you know, well-lit women. Like, it's one of those things of like, if you think of beauty, you think of Marilyn Monroe. Like, she is associated in a way with sexualism. If people are on a poster that are billboards and like men and women, just, you know, that classic expression, men want to be with her and women want to be her. That was Marilyn Monroe back then. And then, so you get this and they're filming this, right? It's for Netflix. Okay, cool. And then you get the, it's going to be N17, and that created a whole shit storm. And now in retrospect, it's kind of funny, but you had a lot of the thirst internet being like, man, you're going to have Ana de Armas doing Marilyn Monroe in an NC-17 movie. There's going to be lots of sex scenes, lots of nudity. Oh, my God. And you saw a lot of that incentive, like, I can't wait for this movie now. Like, the fucking, let's get our sweatpants to the strip club, Dane Cook joke, right? And I get it. People, like, I think a lot of people are just having fun. Ana de Armas is a gorgeous woman, so that's why you're going to do that. For me, that's not like a, like, I don't know. It's like, it's cool. Like, how do I phrase this? There's two ways. One, if it's if you're, like, obsessed with, oh, I got to see this actor, actress naked, like, she's done this before. She did this in the Ben Affleck movie. My very first movie I saw her in was Knock Knock with Keanu Reeves, where if there's, you fucking horny people on the internet are looking for, like, oh, that A and B sex scene of Ana de Armas being really hot, that's Knock Knock. That's not this movie. This movie is a lot of depressing sex. There's I think one scene in particular that is more on the steamier side that is for her. Like, it's like a, she's enjoying it, but the rest of the stuff is all, it's assault or over glorification of, look how bad this is. Right. And we're going to get in that. And also it's just like, sure. Like, I get you might be attracted and like, you want to see an actor, actress naked, but it's like, what is it? It's just like, that's not like, it's just the body. It's just their body. You know, like, I think it would be different if, let's say, you were single and Ana de Armas was single, and then it's like, you know what, I'm going on a date with Ana de Armas. Then I'm like, yeah, now you can get fucking excited because a whole slew of things are going to happen. Seeing someone naked on a picture, that's great. It's about the connection. That's what gets it to, like, the really good stuff, right? So that's why it's like, when people are like, fuck, I can't wait to see this person that's naked, it's like, all right. But you could see from Twitter that we're having fun time with this. And then there was reports of it's not going to get that. And then it came back to, it was being, it's going to happen. And we all were like, rah, rah. Because I was too. I was like, I want to see, like, if she's saying that and the director's saying, like, this is the way the movie should be, let's do it. Now we've seen the movie. Should that be the case? I don't know. This movie's so tough, right? Because I have a lot of, same thing with my timeline. It's spread over as far as people being, I love it, this masterpiece, to don't watch this, you're a misogynist if you watch this, you're supporting a piece of shit director. And these are people that are friends of mine too, that don't support that shit director who's doing this because he's just taking advantage of Marilyn Monroe. I, again, fall somewhere in the middle of all this, where I think there's aspects of this that are great. I think shot-wise, cinematography-wise, there's some really good stuff in here. It's a good-looking film. It's wild because I'm going to give, like, minor spoilers, just, like, set stuff, but it's like you have three type of views where you have, like, widescreen view. You got the 4.3, and then sometimes it's 4.3 or widescreen and black and white. There's, like, three to four different things, and I thought they're going to kind of – and maybe I have to I won't be watching it again, but maybe I have to – look into, because there is lots of, like, there's some jumping times, but not really. And I thought they're gonna do, oh, black and white stuff's in the past and the colored stuff is present day. It's not really that. I think it's just like maybe in moments where it's darker stuff's going on, it is black and white. Now I'm thinking about, I was like, yeah, that's probably it. because lots of bad shit happens with the black and white stuff. So, how do I say this? Madame Moreau, when you learn about her, at least I'm going to give my perspective, but I feel like everyone's the same way, where you learn about her, icon, image of beauty, huge success story, all those things, right? When at one point, there's only a few select people, a handful of people that could say they were the biggest star in Hollywood. Jim Carrey in the 90s, Eddie Murphy in the 80s, right? If like you, like Arnold, like there's a list of people like you were the fucking be all end all. You could go out, do anything, and it'd be success massive. That was Marilyn Monroe. She became the it girl. She maybe was the first it girl. I know there's other people in the past as far as like Audrey Hepburn and stuff like that, but I feel like Marilyn Monroe was a different level. It was kind of like, people might be able to appreciate this, but it's like there was pro wrestling and then there was Hulk Hogan, you know, and that's where it's like Hulk Hogan became this mega star, and that's Marilyn Monroe. Then when you do look into it and you're older, you go, man, a lot of bad stuff happened to her, and it is unfortunate. And that was my kind of take before the movie, because a lot of people were saying, man, this movie shows a lot of bad stuff about Marilyn Monroe. This fucking sucks. They're exploiting it. And I kind of was like, and this was before me. And that's why I did not tweet anything about it, because like, I got to see the movie first, because it could be like Tarantino on a whole different route. But I was like, well, that could be par for the course, because a lot of bad things did happen to Marilyn Monroe, unfortunately, if you read about it, right? But now I do understand the other argument. And this is where I wanted to watch it, because lots of these people saying this have also not seen the film. I'm not saying they're not wrong, but what I'm saying is I think that there is a way to show Marilyn Monroe having this terrible aspects of a life, right? I think what this does is it just, and maybe this was the case, but we'll never know. It's based on a book, but even then, that's where it's tough, where the director said, like, yeah, it's just based on loosely. And even then, and this is where I give credit to people, there's a Twitter thread I saw today, a few days ago, of like comparing real life to the movie, and there's certain things that just flat out didn't happen. Or it's like his view of how it happened is very, very, very skewed. Like, you'd have to know Marilyn Monroe for her to tell you this is exactly what happened. So that's where you go. But at the same time, I got to go, well, if you want that, it's tough because it's a real person, right? But technically, it's like, if you want that real story, watch a fucking documentary, right? This is a fictionalized version of it. So that's where I go, okay, as a movie, let's put the Marilyn Monroe stuff out. I address that like real life person. Let's just talk. Let's say this is a fictional character, fictional movie. They give her moments of happiness in this, but the movie is just pretty much 3 hours of beating down on a woman, and not even physically, just like mentally, emotionally. And you could do that and try to tell that story. I think the problem is it just does. And I do agree with you. It does become more, we're just kicking down on her now. And that can be a story. Unfortunately, there's people that have lives like that. I know people, unfortunately, that aren't alive that have lives like that, that their whole life, unfortunately, was just shit. Whether it was drugs or they were in a bad situation, that can happen. But I think a lot of people go to the verse where there's quotes of her being like, I don't know the full thing, but like, I don't let my pain define me. I'm still a happy person. So there's like, I guess, again, you could be like, oh, the director is insinuating that that's a lie, and she would just say that. That's not a lie in the movie, but it pretty much just says, like, anytime she was happy, that was just a front, that was a lie, she was never happy. That's what this movie pretty much puts forward. I don't know if I believe that, because there's many people close to her, as this week's going on, not, like, talking, but, like, quotes and stuff in the past, of, like, there seemed like there was good in her life, and maybe there wasn't. But in this fictionalized version, that's the thing where it starts from when she's a child, and it goes to when she passed away. That's not a big deal. It's fucking, it's like when people, Dahmer, it's like, there's like, we know the story. The problem I think I have with this movie is there's a few moments. I think there's, if the movie is 90%, even maybe 95% of bad stuff happening, it's 5-10% good stuff, and it's there. But what happens is it's a good thing, and then it's followed up, like, they show us a good thing, okay, it's happening for a little bit, and then right away it's followed up with something really bad, whether it's sexual assault, physical assault, embarrassment, things like that. There's no, you never get a moment where this person's happy and the happiness goes off for a little bit, and then something bad happens to them, but that's a separate issue. It's always like, no, what gave them positive vibes, what gave them happiness, that was actually completely a lie, and it was all wrong and stuff like that, and this person was an asshole, and there was this and that. So that's where it is just, what they do is imagine, and my life would look like shit too if you and, okay, we're going to tell, let's say tomorrow I died. I hope not. I got a lot of things I want to do. I want to see my kids grow up. I want to spend my whole life with Emily as much as possible. I do want to die first because I don't want to live on this planet without her. I know we're getting really down, but we both joke about that as far as like, no, you got to die first. No, you got to die first. Hopefully we get a notebook situation where we both just kind of die similarly because you know, maybe it's because I've spent 10 years with this woman, but I don't want to have a future without her and stuff like that. My life is too good with her included in it. So, but let's say the unfortunate happens. Let's say right now, fucking Hawk comes up, he grabs me by my collar, throws me out, and I die. And let's say someone made a movie about Trasnell's life. And if they just jumped to every single point where something bad happened, you'd walk away being like, man, Travis had a pretty bad life. He wasn't really that happy. That's what I think the issue is with this movie, and I think they could have either taken out some of the bad stuff or added a bit more of the good things in. I get what they're – even Anna says, like, we're just trying to do her justice. I don't know, and maybe that's the thing. And that's where – even if you take the fictional character part where I don't know if there's much of enjoyment for me because it's just – it's showing every single bad thing. It's even if, like, you stubbed your toe, and that's a minor degree, and that's just my points. But just, like, as far as, like – it functions, it's just bad thing, bad thing, bad thing, bad thing, bad thing. And then you walk away being like, her whole life is just one bad thing. And I just don't know if I can believe that knowing that. And then as a movie, though, that's not an enjoyable experience. Even to me, where some of the worst movies have really bad things happening to our characters, you always got to show some light to get some cheer. Look at fucking like Joker in a sense has that, where there's moments where Arthur has like happiness or could have happiness, right? Where, and that's tough because that is another movie where it's a lot of beating down. But the difference is with that, and this is where I'll say the story in Joker would be better, and this is where it could be better, is with Arthur, that is, we meet Arthur on a Tuesday, we see what happens on a Saturday. With Marilyn Monroe in this movie, you'll meet her on a Tuesday, then you'll jump 5 years forward to another bad thing and 6 years forward to another bad thing. If you're going to do the bad thing, like the whole bad movie, like a Joker, which I think is a good comparison, you've got to kind of show that steady decline, I guess, into madness and a bad life and things like that. And that's where I think that works better as far as it's a week in a life and you see some happiness. Now, again, the happiness is what? A fake girl? That's not real. His mother lies to him. So he does have a pretty shit life at times, but there's times where Arthur's happy. And the thing is, like, around him, the situation is bad. And also, that's a bit different because he's becoming a supervillain, right? But I think there's a good example of that's a movie where you could argue he only has probably 5 to 10% of happy moments, right? But I think it's with the pacing and how it's told. With this being a whole life situation, it's very tough. And performance is great, though. That's what holds it up. I'm tough where I grade it or rank it or anything like that because I just I don't know. It's because I've gone back and forth like it's a 6, it's a 5. I don't know if I would necessarily fail it because I think there's some artistic stuff that's done well. I think there's some things that work, especially her performance. I think there's some scenes that really work, and then there's some that are overbearance of them. So I don't know. Even NC-17, I'm not surprised I got for one scene. Most of the movie, I don't think it's anything you haven't seen before. And I will say, even the sexual assault stuff, it's lots of quick flashes. It's not like fucking what's that movie with Monica Bocelli? Irreversible, where there's like a rape scene in the alley for like 10 minutes and it's a lot of it and stuff like that. It's not like that. It's just uncomfortable scenes. There is the biggest scene in particular, which is the NC-17, and I won't say what it is, but it's pretty much very close to like simulated oral sex. I think people probably heard about this, and this is what I'll say in a minor spoilers way. It is a shot of Ana de Armas, and it's like from the mouth up, and it is her performing oral sex, and they cover it by, like, you see your hand holding the shaft as I'm reenacting this, but it's a long scene, and it goes on for a little bit. You don't see any specifics, but it's, like, close enough where they even mention this in that part of the movie. It feels like a softcore porn scene. It really does. People don't know softcore porn is just like stuff without penetration. You're not seeing it. It's people nude. It's all implied, but you're not seeing anything of that. It's like the rated PG-13X, you know, stuff like that. That scene was pretty much close to a softcore porn scene, and it's a tough scene to watch too. But the scene is like, it makes, like, it works because it is telling, like, you feel bad in that moment, but also it's just another scene where we jump to, okay, we have no preference. Like, at one point, obviously, like, JFK, she meets JFK, right? There's none of that. It's just, we're in a moment, we jump, like, 5 years later, and then, oh, she's with JFK, there's one scene, then we jump away from it. You go, oh, okay. And that's the thing where I think this movie also suffers is you have to know Marilyn Monroe's story. If we're talking about the fictional stuff, and if I say, okay, put Marilyn Monroe as a person out of your mind and just watch this as a fictional movie, they do too much jumping and too much of you is having to assume what has happened to tell us. Because all of a sudden it's like, the president? Why is she here? Why is she in this situation? How did this happen? Like, how this person happened? Where did her husband go? Like, there's too much of it. It's just flashes and splashes of her life. So I'm tough. I'm like a 5 out of 10, 6 out of 10. I would pass it from an artistic view. I'll never watch it again because not only is it like a tough movie to watch, I don't think it was even that good of a movie. The only thing that would keep me is like a watching Ana de Armas as this role, and it's great. But even then, I wouldn't. Something like Don't Worry, Darling, where there's a lot more aspects than just Florence I liked, I would watch again. This, there's not enough than more than just Ana for me to watch it again. So that is Travis Told You for October 1st. Now, I should not be back until I think the next time I'm planning is October, the Sunday after Black Adam, because I really want to talk about box office, want to talk about everything that goes down because it's going to be a wild weekend. So I think that's the next one. And I think that's because we're not doing a newscast. So there's a couple of weeks in October. I think I might be doing it, maybe at least for sure one. And then November 9th will be the start of weekly Travis Told You. That's a Wednesday, but like I said, I'm going to see what life is. But either way, you'll be getting one, sometimes two, but one for sure. Thank you, everyone that joined me in the live chat. Thank you, everyone that listened to this after the fact. Really appreciate you, as always, for tuning into hearing my thought bubbles. Shout out to the old show. And I promise when you hear from me next, which will be House of Dragon, it will not be boring. Thank you.